I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. I never thought we'd start an edition of The World with a traffic report, but just so happens there's a lot of traffic in the news today. In Brazil, where anti-World Cup protesters keep blocking roads with the tournament starting tomorrow. And in London, where cab drivers today clogged Trafalgar Square to protest the online car service Uber. We'll tell you about those go slows a bit later, but first to a traffic jam of a different and very worrying kind. Almost 500,000 people piled into vehicles and fleeing their homes in Mosul. That's a city in northern Iraq, where insurgents are now largely in control. In fact, in the last 24 hours, Al-Qaeda-inspired militants have seized large portions of Iraq north of Baghdad, towns where thousands of Americans once fought, like Tikrit, Baiji, and Samarra, are now in the hands of the militants. The Iraqi army has reportedly melted away in many places without putting up much resistance. The Iraqi government is asking for help, saying it faces a mortal danger. Earlier today, I spoke with Aram Shakaram. He's the acting country director in Iraq for Save the Children. He's just arrived in Erbil, a city in northern Iraq, where he says he found many people who'd fled Mosul.
What we are seeing is thousands of families fleeing from Mosul, and hundreds of thousands are thought to be on the run as well, but they have not yet made to the borders of Kurdistan region yet.
Well, I've seen some pictures of traffic jams that are just unreal. Can you tell us what this kind of flight from a city like Mosul looks like?
It is really a big crisis for the people out there. Many people were traveling in cars. You could see people even sitting in car trunks, especially the roads near to Mosul.
And they're sitting in car trunks because cars are trying to get as many people in.
Exactly, as many people as possible, yeah.
Do you have an actual count, an approximate number of refugees who have arrived in the last 48 hours?
Hard to tell. The local authorities are preparing to have camps for 300,000 arriving in the next days. Estimated nearly 500,000 people are on a move.
Right, and of those 500,000, are they on foot?
Only those who had cars have made it to the borders of Kurdistan region, but those who have been walking, we still to see and establish the picture.
Mr. Shakaram, did you have any idea that this was about to happen?
Never. This scale of displacement was not expected. So unless international community responds immediately, it is going to be beyond the capacities.
I've seen some reports about soldiers in Mosul just throwing down their arms and fleeing. I don't know if you've heard those reports, but are you at all concerned that after Fallujah and Mosul, are you concerned that Erbil might be the next target?
It could be, but here security forces are on alert, and what we are hearing is most reassurance that this place will be safe.
Aram Shakaram, Save the Children's acting country director in Iraq. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
The militant group that's driving the chaos in northern Iraq calls itself the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, or ISIL for short. The group draws support from Iraq's Sunni population, but as they head south towards Baghdad, the population becomes more Shiite. Sawad al-Sali reports from Baghdad for the New York Times. I asked her earlier today what the mood was there.
People are really worried. They are calm, but they are worried at the same time. And just they started paying more food material, more fuel.
More fuel, yeah.
Some of them, fuel for the generators and the cars. Instead, they were going to need it.
So stockpiling men, basic essentials.
Exactly. And the young men looking now to pay light weapons because they believe that the troops are incapable to protect their families, so they are looking to protect themselves.
So, Sudad, is the Iraqi state in danger right now?
They are unstable, but I don't know if they are in danger or not, because until the militants reach Samarra, everything will mean that they used to deal with Sunni areas. Then, after Samarra, they have to deal with Shiites, okay? So we are expecting fierce battles will be there in northern Baghdad, start from Samarra on the northern areas of Baghdad. I think the Iraqi government is really relying or betting on Shiites to fight, to protect themselves.
And do you think that's a safe bet for them to make?
Yeah.
You think the Shia will come to the Iraqi government's aid and help them fight?
No, they don't care about the government. They care about themselves. They are looking to protect themselves. They believe that the government is weak and they have to pack it up to what they said to support their sect. It's not about the government. It is not about Maliki anymore. It's about the sect, Shi'i sect.
Couldn't that lead to a brutal civilian sectarian war?
This is expected. This is widely expected. It will come to be Shi'i-Sunni battle, for sure.
How do people feel about that?
They're scared. They are scared, but still calm.
Sidad Al-Sali, reporting from Baghdad for the New York Times. Thank you.
Pleasure. You are welcome.
Gaith Abdulahad of Britain's Guardian newspaper is following events in Iraq from neighboring Turkey. Do you share the opinion, Gaith, that we just heard from Swadad al-Sali in Baghdad, that we're facing possibly a full-on sectarian war in Iraq?
I think we are, actually. The closer the rebels come to Baghdad, they will be hitting the Mix Sunni Shia areas. And the Shia militias are moving north. They will try to protect the shrines in Samarra. They will try to protect Baghdad, actually. And that is your recipe of civil war.
I mean, I'm baffled. I'm sure our listeners are baffled just how we got here. I mean, tens of thousands of heavily armed Iraqi troops in the north just yesterday, and suddenly they've disappeared. What happened? Where did they go?
Marco, the Iraqi army is a corrupt institution. Every soldier gets his position by paying a bribe. Every officer, if not a political appointee, will get his position by paying a bribe. At the same time, when they're faced with real battle, they will defect. I've been talking to army officers who were part of the battle in Ramadi, and they told me the biggest problem they have is the desertion. If you're paying a bribe to go into to get a job, basically, to be paid $1,000 a month, why would you fight? Why would you risk your life? You will defect, and that is the issue.
So how far back did this corruption go? Before the Americans left or since the Americans have departed Iraq?
The problem goes back to during the American days. The Iraqi army was never created as a national army. A lot of the officers were former members of the Shia militia. The former Iraqi army was disbanded. They created a new army in the midst of civil war. And it is a very sectarian army. You know, I went to Ramadi a few months ago during the fighting, and all the units of the Iraqi army carried sectarian banners, Shia flags, Shia posters, so for an average Sunni, he would look into this army and he wouldn't see an Iraqi national army, but a sort of an occupation army, a Shia army.
So the Iraqi army has now not just lost personnel and people, but also heavy weapons and vehicles. Have you been counting how many?
Well, that's a huge thing. I mean, I think they've managed to sustain themselves for the past 2 years based on the meager amount of weapons that they've managed to capture from the Syrian army. Now, this is highly more sophisticated weapons, most of it American weapons. People are speaking of 20 tanks to helicopters, hundreds of Humvees. This will move ISIS from a local insurgency, from a militia, into an army-grade institution. This is the biggest issue here, is all the weapons that they've captured.
Gaith, you're in Turkey, as I said, and there are a bunch of Turkish officials who have been seized by the jihadis, and Turkey has actually called an emergency meeting of NATO to discuss the crisis in Iraq. Do you think outside powers could get involved? Could the United States get re-involved?
Probably they will at one point, at least to kind of protect the Kurdish region and the oil supplies. To be honest with you, I don't see how ISIS will be defeated without outside intervention now. That in itself will create a whole set of problems. But we are talking about the collapse of an institution that has cost billions of U.S. taxpayer money. Will the Americans be willing to go back and fight in the streets of Baghdad? I don't know. I mean, I can't see that.
Gaith Abdulahad with Britain's Guardian newspaper. Good to speak with you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Marco.